You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Tuesday, it's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For the Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, George Larson, another special guest host today, Mike. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Jake? How are you doing, bud?
Good.
How'd
you wrap up the season for Roto Experts?
Jake, don't sound, the Skype must not be working right, because Jake is like mad staticky, because I can't hear what he's saying. Sound like you're underwater.
I hear what he's saying.
Yeah, it's
a little
choppy. I did know that you were giving a nice salutation, so I wanted to greet you back. But I'm excited to be here with you, and I'm sure Corey is as well.
I am. I was chilling with Jake all day today. Oh, just roll with it. All right. I probably didn't want me to say that part on the radio.
That's okay. It's all right. We can breeze past
that. I've been doing a lot of radio this past couple of days, Mike. Sometimes it all starts to run together. Like, I don't know if I'm on or off air.
I hear you. I hear what you mean. Sometimes It blends together. You've been talking, flapping your gums for 3 and 4 hours in a day. Next thing you know,
it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we got to be doing the combine joint tomorrow, and they want me to put on the damn coat.
You got to put on a coat.
I got to put on.
I feel like I have had influence over you having to put on the coat, so I apologize. Because I'm like a coat guy.
I'll be honest with you. When I saw that I had to wear a coat, too, I was like, this is Blewett. This is not Cardano. This is Blewett.
But Ciaramanello and Lisi are also sports
coats.
Jacket guys.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to wear a sport coat, right? I don't mind being an odd one. But I just happened to put the sport coat in the cleaners like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So now I just go get this. I got the sport coat out the cleaners. It's hanging right there. And then I was like, when I saw the email, I'm reading it as I'm walking to the train station. I'm like, okay, all right. Sport coat.
Just wonderful. Take the plastic off before you.
No. I can't. You can't put it on with the plastic on it. So that's going to be tough to get inside of it. But we got to rock a sports coat. Jake, have you ever had to do an event where you sound good, Jake. You ever had to do a broadcast where you had to wear a sport coat?
All the football season when I was doing the local Fox.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See?
Yeah.
I guess this is a part of it.
There you go.
Jake, I do feel like you have more memorabilia. You have more stuff in your shot now than
David
you
Wright.
Did the last time we did a show together.
Well, you see the David Wright jersey?
May he rest in peace.
David Wright?
Yeah.
No, his baseball career.
His career.
His baseball career, yeah. I'm not that morbid.
I thought you had breaking news.
No, may his baseball career rest in peace.
Yeah. It's a continual build.
Yeah, it is. It's like the Matrix or Ready Player One or whatever.
I mean, I got like Funkos in the rafters now. There's like a whole second level up here now. It's like back behind
D. Wright is from Virginia, which is where you're based, right?
Yeah, so actually, like I got to interview him at his little event recently.
There you go. Cool.
Good times. I didn't want to ask him about his health, but they made me ask about his health.
You didn't want to ask him?
No, I don't. He gets asked that all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. And then I found out, so the funny thing was,
what did he say?
The same typical answer everybody is, just hopes he can get out there and he's doing everything he possibly can and all that type of stuff. But the thing was, is because I do the Fox NBC affiliate here, that's why I was interviewing him. And I had questions for us, for Roto Experts too, but Scott told me not to ask him, because Scott knows David Wright really well. Scott told me not to ask him about his injury. I was like, I didn't really want to anyway, but one of the three questions that the Fox affiliate gave me was about the injury.
Yeah.
So...
Gotta do what you gotta do. Can't please everybody. But
no.
You're a professional, Jake, so that's why you asked the question.
No. Yeah. Speaking of not pleasing everybody, Corey, you see Khloe Kardashian?
Oh, what's she doing?
See her news?
Oh no.
What's she doing now?
She announced to everybody that she's gonna eat the placenta after her baby's born.
Oh,
she's
gross.
A wild woman. She's a wild that might be OJ's daughter. That might be OJ's daughter.
So gross. We were asked that. When my wife gave birth before Owen was born, my son.
This must be new.
No, it's like a thing. This is so gross. But they end up, they take it, they dry it, and they put it into like pill form so that you can take it in pills. It's not like a meal.
Oh, you said dry it. I thought you were going to say like they turn it to jerky or something.
I mean, you could probably call it placenta jerky and market it a little bit better.
So what's it supposed to do for the woman?
Boost your immune system.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like a holistic approach.
Yeah.
We did not go with that plan.
How old is Owen?
Owen is 5. My daughter is 2 and a half, and she broke her leg yesterday.
Oh no! How'd the baby break her leg?
She took a step off the bottom step. It was nothing crazy. It's apparently a common thing called a toddler fracture, and she planted and twisted at the same time, sort of like a non-contact ACL. She had a non-contact toddler fracture.
So you knew
fracture.
It as soon as she dropped. You was like,
I was not. I was ACL. Upstairs, but the type of scream that it was.
You knew it was serious.
Yes.
You knew it was serious.
Immediately.
That's a very frightening scream.
It was.
I know, because I know you had to run, and your wife, y'all ran, and y'all got it, and then y'all had to go to the emergency room and all of that last night,
she
right?
She had to go. I had to leave, but she took my daughter immediately to the doctor, x-ray, and that happened at 7 a.m. By 11 a.m., she had a full leg cast. Toes are exposed, but it's up to her mid-thigh. I mean, it's quite a sight for a 2.5-year-old to have a full leg cast. So
that is, because the cast is like her whole body.
We'll see if she can bounce back. I don't know if she's going to be back for training camp.
I know it's going to be tough, getting an injury this late in the season.
Exactly.
So
OTAs are out.
No, your wife didn't go to the emergency room?
Took her straight to the orthopedist that we know, because he worked on my son's foot last year. He broke his foot last year.
What is going on?
That's
with
what people are saying.
Stuff.
I know it seems a little shady, but I will say that I have not been witness to either injury. My wife has, so we'll see. She's got to step up her training regimen with the kids.
That
I
is,
don't know.
That is.
It's like
painful.
You know how the Mets, all the Mets fans blame their training, the training staff or the pitchers blowing their arms out. I might start to have to focus on my wife.
That's interesting, Mike. Because so you got a toddler fracture for the youngest one, right? Yep. And the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she has the full leg cast. Is she is she able to walk with this?
Yes. It's positioned in a way that she can walk, but it's a day old, so she doesn't know how to do it yet. She's got to teach herself how to do it. It's heavy, so she can't figure it out yet.
I know she's miserable.
She is. Yeah.
Is she
so 24
good,
hours in.
Is she good? Is she in good
Surprisingly,
spirits,
last night she was, but we shall see. She will get frustrated.
Okay.
I guarantee.
How long she got to wait? 6 weeks?
Four. Their bones heal very quickly.
Because they're so little, they just mend right back together.
Yes. So we'll see. So there you go. There's a family update. That's not a great update, Jake, but it's an update.
It's an update nonetheless.
Yeah. So what do you got? What do you want to talk about?
I was waiting for you guys to finish the story about the leg. That was,
that was
a nice little session.
That's it. So yeah, interesting. I don't want to bring everybody down. But
no, because I never knew that. Like, wow, that's
toddler fracture.
Toddler
apparently
fracture.
Apparently common. Yeah.
No, there's no segue out of that. So
yeah.
Let's talk about Odell. No.
How about
he's actually he's on the slate for today, Corey. We're not done talking about it. No, we talked about Bortles yesterday.
Okay.
We already did Bortles.
Okay.
We might as well. No. Corey brought up Odell, so we might as well. I was going to start off with him, but we might as well talk about it.
Okay.
Because yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw, but my boy D'Angelo Williams, who still owes me $50, was on NFL Live.
I did see that.
And he was and they were talking about Odell Beckham. They were talking about Gettleman. They asked him about Gettleman, which was interesting to see. But they brought up the whole point of Odell Beckham not only getting paid, but Odell Beckham being the highest paid player in football, period. Like the highest paid player overall. Now, D'Angelo was the only person who said yes. He said, yes, he deserves to be the highest paid. Yes, he's the best talent on the field. If you see with how much Eli Manning is making, Odell Beckham should be making more than that, which would put him right in the range of being the highest paid. Field Yates said, well, let's start at the top and let's talk about Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Aaron Rodgers. He said, heck, even Aaron Donald, and went down that list. So, Corey, where do you stand on this? Because even as a Giants fan, high paid? Sure. Highest? I don't think so.
You got to look at the timing of it. You know, this is going to sound crazy than I'm about to say. People are going to be like, this guy's lost his mind. NFL players, for the most part, are underpaid. You figure the Devontae Freeman and Jaja Pachulia have the same contract. You see what I'm saying?
NFL
players are underpaid. So now the market is going to change. So now you got this mega superstar celebrity athlete going into the prime of his career in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to be the highest paid non-quarterback. I still think the highest paid player in the league should be a quarterback.
Okay. So I would say that he absolutely can argue for being one of the highest paid wide receivers. I think there are issues when we're talking about quarterbacks getting paid $27, $28 million. I wonder if the NFL at any point institutes a – positional cap. Mm-hmm. The players are obviously going to balk at that, so I can't suspect that it would ever happen. But
if you're going to do that, come in with a floor then, too.
Right, right. I think they could structure it a little bit better. Right, like maybe higher minimums, right? So because
especially for running backs.
Yeah, because what we're seeing so often is like, let's just say Kirk Cousins makes 28. I'll just put him right above Garoppolo. He makes 28 a year. Whoever signs him, say it's the Jets, are going to have like 15 guys at the end of the roster that are getting paid league minimum.
Yeah.
$440,000 or whatever it is right now. So it creates this kind of disparity and them teams having to release veteran players who are higher quality so they can give Cousins an extra $4 million or whatever.
You look at Saints, you look at Seahawks, they come to mind automatically. The quarterback gets the big number. Saints and Seahawks, the rest of the team is depleted.
Yeah, and that's why the Cousins market, I think, it's not going to be depressed because he's going to get paid when he gets paid, but there's not going to be seven teams on it, Jake, like people were saying a couple of months ago. It's going to be the couple of teams that line up. Somebody will pay him, but there's too many rookie quarterbacks available for teams to structure their salary cap a little bit easier, correct?
Yeah, they are, but I mean, he's still going to get that. What you're talking about, the $28 million, whatever, but... See, but I go back to the other thing, Corey. I don't even think he should be the highest paid non-quarterback. I mean, we got to start that conversation starts with Antonio Brown just for wide receivers.
I agree.
Heck, DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, but you look, they already got their deals. So Odell deal is coming up. So he, because of timing, he's in the position. He's the timing.
It's the quarterback next man up. I still don't think that you can do that, though. I don't think you can make it. Because what has he done? I'm a Giants fan. What has he done? He's had two terrific seasons. He's been hurt. He's an off-field distraction. I don't know how much you could just go out there and say he deserves to be the highest paid non-quarterback.
I think the timing of the situation when the contract is up, especially now with people realizing that football players are underpaid, He is by far the best player on that team. He plays in New York City for one of the league's top franchises. He's got a lot. He's a interesting guy that can bring a lot of different people into the space because of who he is. You feel what I'm saying?
I understand that, but that's for him to monetize off the field. I do think he could be the highest paid.
The field, though?
Now, if Jake is saying if we're ranking wide receivers, he's not the best wide receiver in the league. He's close, but you would have to say it's Brown.
Yeah, but Brown has already got his money.
So I'm fine with Odell sliding in above him, but you're saying non-quarterback. There's other pass rushers and guys like out there that could suggest.
Like Aaron Donald, like you said.
Like
Field Yates suggested.
That's right.
I get what you're saying, but Odell's a difference maker.
Aaron Donald's a difference maker.
Not the season that just passed when they were terrible, but two seasons. I mean, the season before last, when the offense was pitiful, he was the only player on the team that could score.
Yeah,
nobody else on the team can do anything but him.
Do you think, though, that he has a greater impact on the football field on a regular basis than Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley or Zeke Elliott?
I think he does. And I'm not the biggest Odell guy. But
I mean, Le'Veon Bell touched the ball 400 times last year.
Yes, this is true. And Le'Veon Bell, but you know the running back's not going to get paid big money like that.
I understand.
That's the nature of the beast.
It's in a different investment.
But now you got this big time wide receiver in New York. He's a celebrity athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with a celebrity athlete, I think him and his agent, they should shoot for the highest non-paid quarterback deal of all time.
But the off-field stuff for the agent arguing the deal won't
factor
in.
What's the off-field stuff?
I'm saying for him to monetize through endorsements, and you're talking about his celebrity status. Yeah. That means nothing to the Giants
when it comes to
the salary cap. Yeah, sure.
He's their best player, number one market.
He's likely to be, Jake, their highest paid player outside of Eli, right? If he gets this deal.
Absolutely.
So what else?
He should make more money than Eli Manning.
No, he shouldn't. Because you just said he's the highest paid quarterback.
But
Eli's on the downside of his career.
I understand that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You can't pay Odell Beckham $25 million a year.
No, you can't.
No, nobody, not even Antonio Brown deserves that.
Even if you gave him the most targets and the most catches and he surpasses Antonio Brown, which he hasn't yet.
So why do quarterbacks?
You can't say why because you know why. You know why. I mean, it's literally the most important part of the team to function properly. And ineptitude at that position means you're a bad team.
Yeah, you're right. It's done if you can't.
You're just a bad team.
You can't do it.
Should Matt Stafford get paid $26 million? Probably not, but
It is.
But you're
comfortable. I still go back to, I would pay Aaron Donald more than I pay Odell Beckham. I still go back to that. I agree with Field Yates on that one.
Oh, Aaron Donald's a tackle.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And but he also plays multiple positions on the line.
He is Odell Beckham of the defense.
Yeah.
But I would rather give that money to a pass rusher, a dominant pass rusher.
He is. He's
like
everything.
Von Miller.
Totals aren't there.
I don't look at him as a dominant pass rusher.
He had 91 pressures last year, Corey.
That's crazy.
That is a pass rusher.
People look at sacks, and it's a very hot and cold kind of stat.
How old is Aaron Donald?
He's the same draft as Odell. Same draft. Same age.
Yeah.
Because they're both looking for that deal.
Those 91 pressures were most in the league.
From an interior position, often. He does slide around, but he's very often at an interior position, which means he is completely dominating the people in front of him. They cannot block him. It's like, and J.J. Watt's doing his work on the outside, and it's not to denigrate what he's doing. But
91 pressures. Do you know what the second place number was?
Probably, 76?
70 by Geno Atkins.
Ooh, Geno Atkins getting after it, Geno Atkins. Wow.
It took him a while because he had an ACL, and it took him a couple of years, but... You know, he's back to playing well on it.
Donald and Beckham are in the conversation for top outside of football. But the bottom line and truth of the matter is, he does not have – Aaron Donald, even though he plays in Los Angeles, he does not have the celebrity status of Odell Beckham.
I get it.
You can do that off the field. Yeah. All right. We're hitting a break. We're going to come back. Enough Odell Beckham talk. We've done it for the past 2 days. It's Jake, Corey, and Mike. It is the Roto Experts.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Watch Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9 on Twitch.tv from the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 every Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Do you want to be a part of the show? Take part in the Twitch chat room and give me your opinions or call in 844-84-FNTSY. Go to twitch.tv/CraigCartonLive and get in on the action. Come get some! It's Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9, only on Twitch.tv.
Play on Fantasy Draft, the only daily fantasy site where every head-to-head contest is rake-free, including contests you create. Fantasy Draft also gives you the ability to block up to 25 players from entering your head-to-head contest. With a $1 million prize pool and $200,000 to the winner, Fantasy Draft is running their inaugural NFL Live Final, the Carolina Million. Sign up today at FantasyDraft.com with promo code FNTSY and experience players first for yourself. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I'd still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today. Unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Jerry Jones or Tony Soprano, the boss of the bosses?
No.
Jerry Jones has to be the Weasley guy that tries to take out the big guy from behind. Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
He'd be like Abe Vigoda at the end and he says, for old time's sakes.
No, we can't do that. We got Jerry Jones, a powerful figure in the NFL.
He'd be one of the rival families that gets shot down.
To take him out. Yeah.
At the steps.
Jerry Jones is the chief of the opposing family that's trying to overthrow the NFL. The NFL is the mafia.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge. dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I love it.
Welcome back to Roto Experts. It's Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, and Mike Blewett. By the way, speaking of them, we got your NFL coverage for the NFL Draft. Catch the three-hour 2018 NFL Combine special hosted by Mike Blewett with College Football Today host Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello providing way too much information on the Combine participants and Corey Parson providing fantasy analysis this Wednesday. It's February 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube channel right here if you're watching right now. Rebroadcast on the telecast will air on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network until the Combine's conclusion on Sunday. And we don't stop there. Listen to Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson and Tony Sicada every Thursday and Friday night during the offseason at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and Sundays from 12 p.m. to, wait, no, that can't be 12 to 9 a.m. What kind of, oh, 12, 9 a.m. Pacific time. I was going to say, that's a really long show, Corey.
I want to say they MLB on the clock.
But always NFL season off the field. So it's Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You guys are going to both be doing that tomorrow night, right?
Yeah,
fired up. I'll be dressed like Blewett, so it'll be fun.
He's annoyed with the sport
coat. Yeah, I really am. Don't like him because then I got to do stuff afterwards, so I got to change clothes. But I like Chris Pavone's he played the on-target version of the Bruno Mars jam.
24 karat magic or no white gold?
Yeah, that's the white. Yeah, that's that.
Uptown Funk.
I took a...
My daughter loves this man's music. It's all same. It's all this that they listen to.
Yes.
This dude sells out shows all over the place. Like, I got a message that he's going to be at the Prudential Center, and I thought, oh, I'll get her tickets. This is like in September. It was like two of them left.
Yeah.
If you ever, wow. I hope he comes to Rock and Roll. He makes music for children. It's crazy, right?
I don't think that was his intent, but no. I mean, he did win the Grammy for
but
best.
But he's getting record money, so there you go.
Best
so
album.
So we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
No.
And this directly affects you.
Oh, no.
See how I set it up? No, it's not like that. So, this is the exact quote. The NFL, hold on, let me pull it back up.
Jerry.
The NFL Competition Committee appears to have unanimous agreement that the controversial catch rulings involving Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson should have been ruled complete, according to Giants owner John Mara. So the committee meeting in Indianapolis is on their way to changing the catch rule for 2018.
How about Jesse James? Did they say
that
anything?
That was not in the inclusion.
Well.
But Corey, how do you feel? Dez Bryant should have been a catch.
That would have been the greatest catch in NFL playoff history. Was taken off the books. So that still belongs to Lynn Swan. Or you could throw some other people in there. It was a couple Hail Marys.
Brent Jones. Dwight Clark, I mean. Dwight Clark.
Mike, don't do that. But this right here.
I didn't mean it because of the Cowboys. I just mean.
But you know that's I remember watching that football game. This is tough because, you know, from a fan point of view, this is tough because, you know, you win that game, you knock out the Packers, then you get a Seahawks team that got destroyed. You know, that team comes into Dallas that next week for a home game, an NFC Championship game. They win that game, and then they go on to face New England in the Super Bowl. You don't know what could end up happening there, but that was Tony Romo's last shot, and that's messed up.
I hear you.
So, but you know, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it at this point. So, but yeah, that was Tony Romo's last shot, and now.
So that's what I'm saying, Corey. Does this make you feel good that they're fixing the catch rule, or are you just kind of still like you feel good and bitter at the same time that they're doing it now?
I feel good. At least you know it won't happen again, but I do feel as if that was a big missed opportunity. They are double. They teaming up. They're coming for Jerry Jones right now.
Yeah, they are.
You notice this, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is back-to-back days, but the NFL is coming for Jerry Jones. Roger Goodell better watch out because he is not above reproach.
What are you talking about? They just re-upped his deal. He probably feels that more than ever.
But no, I don't like the way he's handling Jerry Jones. Because Jerry Jones.
Well, now you know how he's handling Jerry Jones. He won.
He's trolling him. He's trolling
he
Jerry Jones.
He won this fight.
He's bullying him, and now today he trolls him.
Sort
of.
Yeah, he's saying that he's trolling him with the Dez
Bryant
catch.
With the Dez Bryant catch, yeah. It's like,
he's using John, has nothing to do with him. This
he's
is the
using John Mara as
this
the conduit.
Yeah.
He's using John Mara as the conduit to troll Jerry.
I think that's what they're doing. Yeah.
Roger won that fight. That is all there is to it, and I'm sure he's going to...
Mike, we talked about it this morning. And Jake, if you don't mind, I'm going to get Mike's opinion for it right quick. This thing with the $2 million, you don't have to take... You have a collective bargaining agreement. You don't have to go to court. Or you can say, you know what, you're right. You're right, we're wrong, you're not suspended. So now, being that you went to court, now Jerry Jones got to pay for this? And because Jerry Jones was threatening your contract situation, you felt as if you had to lawyer up? And then you got the rest of the owners to prove to agree with you?
They probably did lawyer up.
Why?
Because the NFL often uses outside counsel.
How, Mike? They because don't really if they use think that much outside. They have a staff full of lawyers over there on Fifth Avenue.
They do, but they use outside counsel for certain certain legal challenges, which is that was a unique one. They had somebody within the inside the organization effectively suing them. So they had to probably use outside counsel. Obviously, Roger's trolling him a little bit with this, but he's going to want to see that check with somebody's signature on it.
And then this could have been private. This didn't have to be released to the media.
This could have been. Jerry also could have kept things private, too. So I think they're both wrong in this. I'm not siding with
them. There's a lot of people out there just in court in general that when you lose, a lot of times the fine includes paying for the counsel for the people that you went against.
No, I understand, and I get that, but this was a situation where the NFL did not have to go to court. They could have said, you're not suspended, or they could have said, there's the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, but that's the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones tried to take them to court multiple times.
Yeah, the NFL didn't initiate this particular legal activity.
No, they didn't, but they could have got out of it.
No, they couldn't have.
I don't really see it that way.
They were forcing their hand. Yeah. They came and tried. They're the one. The Cowboys are the ones that tried to sue them.
Jerry is the one that was initiating this legal action, saying he was going to sue the NFL over the suspension.
But could the NFL...
Corey, if I came and sued you...
Wait, is it
if
over...
If I came and sued you, you couldn't just be like, I'm not wrong.
Jake, to clarify, is it over the Roger Goodell's compensation package being approved, or is it
it's
over...
It's both.
It's a combination of both.
Got it.
It's a combination of both. It's a
combination of both. So, but can't you just send somebody to the courthouse and be like, here goes the CBA to the player sign?
No, because you can't just do it like that.
Look, here it goes. This is a legal document right here. This is the CBA. It says I can do this. We don't even have to go to
court. Yeah, and then the Dallas Cowboys tried to say that wasn't valid.
Yeah, all right. Well, this was done. This was not done right. Roger Goodell is a bully.
Jerry tried to bully Roger in a big way.
Jerry Jones, we can move on.
That was a big bully move.
Jerry Jones is a bully too, though.
He is. That was a straight bully move.
But you do understand
Jerry,
that Jerry
trying
Jones
to get the guy's compensation package from being approved.
Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
I get it.
Do you understand that there's certain entities that could be bigger than the NFL, and the Dallas Cowboys is one of them?
Yeah, and Jerry tried to flex that during that whole situation.
All right,
anyway,
so
go ahead,
here's
Jake.
The other one, and I want to get your opinion on this one. So the other part that's been talked about with the competition committee is they're considering going to like college when it comes to pass interference and changing to the 15 yards instead of the spot foul.
We talked about this.
I have a strong opinion about this, but I want to get your guys first.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Corey. You go first.
The AFC Championship game. That bad play call down the field.
Mm-hmm.
That was. I think they probably looked at that play, and obviously other plays come. Obviously other plays too, but particularly that play right there in the AFC Championship game. That was a game-changing play right there. First of all, it should not have been a pass interference, and then you moved them all the way down inside the 5-yard line. That gives New England a tremendous advantage before the half, and then you come out there, and New England ends up going back to another Super Bowl. Now, the spot foul is the spot foul does give, you know, it does have advantages for the defenders also, especially on pass interference deep down the field late in games and stuff like that. But so I'm kind of torn on it. Do you do the 15 yards like they do in college? But
so my fear, the fear I think of everybody, and mine as well, is that defenders would be more liberal with fouling guys. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously a fear. And the offenses clearly use OPI as a yard gaining maneuver. Guys know how to get an offensive pass interference call. And officials call it more than ever, it feels like. So my guess, and it's not a definitive answer, but my call would be to go with the 15-yard spot foul. I would prefer that. I think there's too much of an advantage for, like, what happened in the Jags-Pats game and some of these 30 and 40 and 50-yard pass interference penalties when guys don't have any real intention to catch the ball. They're just trying to get a penalty. So I would like to see it, but I would be cautious. I say it with cautious optimism because I'd be worried about the number of DPI calls going up, Jake.
Yeah, so I'm not middle ground. I'm not slightly with it. I'm 100% against it. I hate it because I hate it in college. It's like as soon as you get beat, you just tackle the guy. Yeah. And I see it all the time. I watch a ton of college tape, and you can just watch it. The guys grab him and take him to the ground. You got beat. It's going to be a touchdown. 15 yards, fine. I'll give it 15 yards because at least it's not a touchdown. So I think you're saying is that you're going to see more of it. You're going to see more liberal play by it. And I have no problem with giving the corners do need some of a boost back to their end with how pass happy and how pass forgiving the NFL is at this point. I mean, basically, I'm going to go to what you said, Corey, is I don't think we should look at, okay, a blown pass interference call should determine what we do going forward because then you're always reactionary and then you're always changing everything. Here's what I think the solution is. As I actually think the NFL needs to look at the NBA here, and here's what you do. You implement the 15 yards, so it's 15 yards, because the one thing about it is you could say argument in the college football is that you get pass interference from the 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, it's automatically 15, even though it was only a 5-yard play. So you kind of have that going the other way in a little bit. But I'm going to say take it from the NBA. It's an automatic 15 unless it's determined as a clear path foul. If it's a clear path interference where you're clearly beaten, there's nobody else behind that person, and you swipe their leg, you take them down, then you know what? It's a clear path pass interference, and now you get the spot foul instead.
I like that idea. Here's my concern.
There's more subjectivity.
Yeah,
exactly.
Put on the
officials. But it's a good idea.
I like the idea, but I'm worried about more subjectivity.
Here's my concern. Mike, I'll say this. When did we get away from being able to put something in the shoulders of the referees? Like, we took away the whole the push out of bounds, like if you would have landed in bounds, which I could understand that. But, like, at some point, what are we paying the referees for and not having robots if they can never make a judgment decision?
Like, I agree with you.
What's the point?
I agree with you, but the NFL has put them in a horrible position regarding the catch rule to the point where they basically took it away, and they're in a no-win situation with that, with the catches. The only thing that I think that I've seen anecdotally a slight adjustment is it seems like they're allowing it to be called a catch more so that you have to overturn it as opposed to the other way. Now, to your point, Jake, about clear path fouls, you could also put a limit on it per player, like a technical kind of situation where no more than two fouls per third one, you're gone, like there is with the unsportsmanlike penalties. Because I remember Terrence Mitchell, the corner from the Chiefs, who was a punching bag for a good portion of the league last year. Do you remember the opening night against the Pats? He had like three pass interference penalties in the first half, and it was because he was overmatched. So that's all he was doing is what Jake said earlier, like some of the college defenders do. It's like, I just got to start tackling dudes in the end zone because I can't cover them. So it could be something like that as well, maybe, Jake?
I think so. I think the clear path is like the best way to think about it. But again, to what you said is we got to start putting stuff back into the hands of the referees. And I know we're going to have that in every sport. Look, we still have it in NBA, baseball, everything. You're always going to have situations where the referees either one screw up or even if they don't screw up, people are going to be ticked off. Now, both teams are never going to be happy with the call. That's just impossible. So we're paying these referees to be what they are. It's okay if a couple plays in the NFL are judgment calls.
Yeah, no, Jake makes sense with that one too. The clear path thing is something that the NFL probably should look into if you're going to change this rule. I do think the rule needs to be changed. I do think the pass interference, the spot foul, I think it should be 15 yards. But you see it on both ways, like you said, with the players getting tackled. But if you look at a situation which Jake mentions about the clear path, so then it becomes okay. Is it a play where you give him? So if it's a clear path, do you put him?
Yeah, so clear path is if he's.
So you put him at the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But then if you put him at the spot, then it's not really.
It's 15 unless it's a clear path foul. Then it's a spot foul.
A clear path to what though?
The end zone.
Say whatever to a big play. If you're determining the interference was intentional or a clear path, and that's basically what you're looking at here. That's what I mean. Let's look. We go to NBA. What is a clear path? It's a judgment call that nobody was going to be able to stop that player from scoring. You don't give them the points. you just give him a technical. Well, for this situation, you give him a spot penalty, and instead of being the 15 yards, it's now a spot penalty. If it looks like 35 yards downfield, the guy was completely beat, so before the ball gets there, the defender dives and takes out his legs, that's a spot foul.
I like it. It sounds good. I would want to see it executed and see how it would work, like in a game scenario. But I like the idea.
I kind of like that. I think I'm going to jump on your bandwagon with that, Jake.
I like the idea.
I will footnote you every time I mention it, but I think I kind of like that.
I would like to see it in action, though. You feel what I'm saying? But we're not going to see that. No,
you can do it preseason. You can do it in preseason when everybody that's playing is getting cut.
Yeah.
Say, do this for the NFL. Yeah. Run down the field real fast. He's going to tackle you, and let's see how the referee acts.
So
yeah, I agree. All right. Well, then, real quick before because we got about a minute and a half left, I was just going to bring this up for fun. Did you guys see this Usain Bolt news?
No.
What happened?
Tell me.
Oh, a few days ago, he tweeted that he's going to be joining a soccer team, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, what soccer team is he going to join? Is he going to play in the EPL? Where's he going to go?" Or like, "What?" He tweets out this morning, it's just some charity event soccer team that he's playing for. It's not even a professional. Like, isn't this kind of a schmuck move?
Yeah.
You were saying Bolt looking for he's trolling, looking for attention, which he does not need. You know, if you talk about the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics, Mike.
He's too tall for a bobsled, so don't get started.
No, but.
Skeleton.
No. Well, we just like. We talk about Usain Bolt sometime. Mm-hmm. Like, Usain Bolt's an American athlete. You notice that?
Yeah. It's like we've totally claimed it.
Yes. We colonized Usain Bolt.
We've appropriated Usain Bolt for use for American sport athletic purposes.
Exactly. When is the, like, Usain Bolt is not on our team, but everybody roots for him like he's on our team. So, but we've won enough medals in the winter, Summer Olympics that we can let other people win one. But
Norway dominated.
In the Winter Olympics, we don't do good, Mike.
Oh, we're fine. We did fine. We came in fourth. It's not great, but it's okay.
We won curling.
We did.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
We won a heck of a lot of X Games events. Yeah, that's we won curling too. And Delta wouldn't even upgrade their
Thank
flight.
Thank God for snowboarding,
that?
Jake. We would have nothing.
And skiing, yeah. The halfpipe events. I told you X Games is where it's at. All right, we're coming back. Jake Seely, Corey Parson, Mike Blewett joining us today. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Muscle Maker Grill is made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Game time decisions.
There's always nightmare stories about
you feel trapped. Maybe you don't want to be on the boat.
The bathrooms break. There's sewage everywhere. There was a cruise ship where an Italian family wrecked a havoc on the entire cruise. Like this family of 30 just repeatedly fought.
That's a tough cruise. You can get a little bit bombed at the discotheque, but you know, you can't take swings at other patrons.
Light up a fat one on the deck? I don't think you could.
You don't think you could?
I don't think Captain Steubing or the Love Boat would approve of that.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour.
Jeff Thomas, former FSTA president, owner of Sports Buff. What's the one thing that you most proudly look back on that you accomplished in the industry?
Proudest moment is always tough, too, because it's been fun. It's been fun to know guys truly across the country and across the world with this industry. Maybe the most proud times were when you and I were hanging out in Chicago and Vegas and other cities and just having a great time.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable. Whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, Mike Blewett. We're having a good discussion today with a lot of NFL talk. Wasn't planned so much NFL talk, but you know, it's usually what happens. It takes over whenever it can. But by the way, for you guys, make sure you go to dkms.org. Every 3 minutes in America, somebody is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor with their family. But that's how you can help. If you go to dkms.org/FNTSY today and sign up online to register as a donor, DKMS will send you a swab kit, which legitimately takes 1 minute to do. A lot of us on the network have done it. You swab each of your cheeks, send it back to them, and that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try to match you up with a person in need of a donation. Process is easy. And best of all, you can literally save somebody's life, not metaphorically, literally. Check out dkms.org/FNTSY to see how you can help. Funny thing is, on this ruling, guys, you sound like you're both behind. It's the biggest argument I'm getting pushback for on Twitter is people are saying, oh, we're going to put all these problems in the referee's hands and all these reviews are going to pile up and all this stuff. Like, seriously, like what I just said, then why are we paying the referees? What's the point then?
It is what I'm worried about, but I'm willing to do it in this instance. I kind of like that. I think it's an improvement. Look, I don't want everything to be a spot foul if I had my choice. So why not try something like what Jake is describing?
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I agree with that. I find it interesting, and I would like to see them experiment with that and see how it works. But I do think the rule, the automatic, the spot foul, I do think that that's kind of outdated.
And both of, like, that's why I think it's in the middle of ground. I think both of them have their flaws. As the spot foul is a little bit too much, the 15 yards, then you get, like Mike said, is you get people who are just going to intentionally. I think that's what people are missing. Defensive pass interference are going to start going through the roof if you just do the 15 yards. Everybody's just going to start tackling everybody as soon as you get past 15 if they're beat. But a discussion for another day. We'll have to see how this turns out anyway, because this is just only the proposal stage.
Yep.
Who knows if it gets to the next stage.
The only thing about that is you got to take some defensive backs are very prideful people. So they're kind of like, they were like, oh, no, I'm not going to interfere you because I'm beat. I'm going to make the play.
Yeah. What we'd have to figure out, though, there will be situational times where they're willing to take a bunch of 15-yarders, you know, like end of game, end of half.
Yeah, you're right.
They'll
right.
take a couple of 15-yarders because the opposing team has to get 50 yards downfield. You know what I mean? And they'll just waste time on them in a couple of plays.
Just watch one weekend of college football, and you'll see what the problem is.
Yeah.
All you need is one weekend, because it happens nonstop in college football.
I've seen it a ton.
Yep. Yeah, you can watch one team all year long, and you'll see it. Like, I watch all Notre Dame games, and I can have two off the top of my head from Notre Dame games that I remember this past year, so let alone watching an entire weekend of college football. But one more thing that I wanted to get to is thinking about proposing things, and you'll definitely like this, Corey. It's this whole – so we're talking about the NBA. We're talking about the problems with that. But as an aside, this is another one with the NCAA, the one and done, and everything that's going on with the NCAA right now, and you know all the stuff with the money and all. But that's all coming down back to the one and done. And then we talk about the scholarships and all that type of stuff. So the proposal that I see a lot of people talking about is making the G League more important. And this is one thing that I've always said, Corey, and you know this, is like, let's look at the four major sports. The NBA is the only one without a minor league squad, and until recently with the G League and the D League that it was before that. But even on top of that, it still is the only one that doesn't have a minor league squad for every single team.
Yep.
So instead of worrying about this one and done, why not make the G League a legitimate minor league basketball squad? You remember back in the day, especially Mike, you know this too, is like when the NBA draft used to be 7 rounds. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't even get past 2 anymore. Make the G League legitimate, make them salaried like you see in AAA and AA and stuff like that, and actually make it a legitimate place where, to your boys, Corey, which I hate bringing them up, where the balls could actually go. You know, skip college, go play minor league basketball.
No, and I agree, and I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to use the one and done to kind of to help that out. I was watching, you know, Silva. This Silva guy is brilliant. Have you seen him?
Adam?
Adam Silva, the NBA commissioner.
They're incredibly good at making money, the NBA. And to Jake's point, this should be something. I guarantee they're considering it, and it should be something that they're able to.
They're going to get ready to change the rule. They're talking. In this offseason, he's going to be talking with what's that crook that run the NCAA? Ennis?
Mark Emmert.
Mark Emmert, Adam Silva, whoever runs the Players Association. I think it's a young lady, and Condoleezza Rice, and they're going to redo the run-and-done rule. And one of the things that Adam Silva said, it could be a way to funnel more talent into the G League.
I'm totally on board with what she...
I don't understand how Condoleezza Rice got in this, though, but I'm happy she's there.
Well, she was on the football committee, so she was on the football selection committee for the BCS selection committee. She was the first year when it came out. She was there for... They do, like, 2-year stints, so she was there for a couple of years. So she's got some, obviously, a lot of experience negotiating. But I'm on board with what you're saying, Jake. I think the NBA has probably been hesitant because they're not sure if they have 30 markets that can support it. I would imagine some of the markets you can just maybe play in the same arena, not unlike the Knicks and the Liberty play in the same. I know it's not the same thing, but you move the Westchester Knicks could play at the Garden. That's probably a bad example because you don't want to have the Garden that empty, conceivably.
No,
yeah, but like Portland, the Trailblazers. They could probably also support a minor league basketball team in Portland,
Sacramento,
and play in that arena. Sacramento, same thing. They probably have the team. They probably have the toughest time, actually.
Well, then you have all the cities that are kind of like here in Norfolk, Virginia. All we have is AAA, the Norfolk Tides, which used to be the Mets, now the Orioles. And we have a minor league affiliate for the Admirals, which have been bouncing around different teams. I mean, they were Blackhawks for a while. And then, you know, they just keep switching. They were the Maple Leafs at some point, I think, or the Lightning. Yeah, they were Lightning at some point. But anyway, that being said, we're a minor league. We're never getting a major league anything here. I can tell there's a multitude of reasons why. And people keep fooling themselves thinking we are. We're not. But that being said, we are at least minor league capable. So put an arena here and put 2 teams here, like you're saying, Mike. So, like, you put an arena here and 2 teams, whether it's, like, the Washington team, like, with the Wizards and the Hornets, both play in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, that would actually be a lot of fun, too, because you'd have people choosing sides. The NBA would have to figure out where they'd want to split the market like that, but at the same time, it creates a little bit of a basketball frenzy. Like, you know, there are certain towns that are going to be able to support it. The Spurs G League team is in Austin. That town can obviously support that. Delaware has the Sixers team. And on and on. So I do like this idea. I do think you can steal players from going to Europe. I mean, there's a lot of guys that like wash out of the league early and don't really want to go to Europe. This would solve that problem for them. They don't have to be millionaires, but hell,
they can play basketball and get money.
I was just going to say, if you're making $100,000 a year being a professional basketball player, is that so bad?
I got a homeboy. 50. I got a dude that I graduated college with. He had a cup of coffee graduated high school with. He had a cup of coffee in the NBA, and he still is playing basketball now. And it's kind of still how he feeds his kids, his family, and he'll just make a ton of money playing in street league games.
Yeah. So instead of doing that, imagine you can go more organized, you have better health care, by the way, if you're one of those guys.
You don't have to worry about maybe not getting paid.
Right. No, honestly.
It's true.
There's guys like that, I'm sure, they're making a living hustling and playing basketball, not illegally. I'm just saying, they're hustling around and playing in different games. So, yeah, I'm on board with the idea. I do think the NBA knows how to pull it off. They are probably the most equipped of the four major professional sports leagues here, I think they have the most equipped set of business people in order to figure something like this out. I'm not denigrating the other leagues. I'm just saying I have a lot of respect for the people that work in the NBA. I know some of them. And
the proof is in the pudding.
Yes,
the proof is in the pudding. You look at the NFL, it's always some scandal in the NFL. The NFL is always one or two steps behind something that they should have had taken care of already. Like, it's like things happen. Like, for example, the national anthem this year. They were caught. Last year, I could understand them being caught flat-footed. How do you get caught flat-footed again this year?
Especially when a league like the NBA, which is wholly supportive of social issues, has something in the rules that says we can't have this we can't have this before the games because it's going to distract from what is trying to happen during the game.
And the NFL gets caught flat-footed 2 years in a row.
Nobody would argue that the NBA is more socially progressive than all the other leagues. Yeah, and they don't let their players stand for the anthem or kneel for the anthem just because they know it's going to hurt the product, even if 100%. In an ancillary way. So
Adam Silver in that he's real smart dude. He gets it. And they do a good job. They just football is just such a powerful sport.
Yeah. So yeah.
Hey Corey, you want to talk golf for the second day in a row?
The big cat is on the move, right? Well, we're getting closer to Tiger Woods becoming a thing again.
I just wanted to know. Yeah, we talked about Tiger yesterday. Okay. I wanted to know if you were okay with Justin Thomas trying to get the fan ejected.
I didn't hear about that.
Did you see that?
So the guy was riding pretty hard, Jake.
Yeah, but it was after the shot. See, here's the thing. It's like this wasn't the situation with Tiger Woods where people yelled in backswing. This wasn't the situation where, like, so he was riding him, but that'd be fair. So he hits his tee shot, and then he yells out after the shot, get in the bunker.
Yeah.
So similar to, like, the people are always like, get in the hole, which I hate that guy. That guy should be banned from every course. Like, I know it's always a different guy, but, you know, I'm so tired. Like, get in the hole is played out. That was funny, like, the first few months of, like, what was 6 years ago at this point. But now it's so tired. But the get in the bunker was just kind of like, that's kind of funny. So Justin Thomas went to an official and tried to get the guy kicked out of the, you know, I guess got kicked off the course. I don't know. We don't know if he ever did. But and then he comes out today and he apologizes for having it done. But seriously, like, I have a problem with the backswing part of it. So, Mike, you weren't here the other day. I was saying this. We talked about it, Corey. We talked about this last week. I was talking about it with Scott and Tony. Is I golfed through high school and everything like that, competition. I actually prefer talking while I was going because you guys know this. When it's dead silent, it's always a heck of a lot louder when anything happens.
Yeah.
I prefer that. If you just let the crowd kind of talk and murmur and stuff like that, not yell, it wouldn't be such a big issue if somebody yells something out. So you wouldn't even really hear it. So I just think that golf's a little too uppity.
Yeah. And plus, the players do deal with some level of distraction. I mean, there are cheers going on elsewhere in the golf course while they are playing. They don't always get a chance to back off the ball when something happens. You know, if somebody sinks a putt while you're in your backswing and it's a huge putt, you're dealing with it. You're just swinging away and you're trying to get it near the pin. So to your point, there is often an overreaction by golfers. And I think it was a bad call. He just ended up looking like a jerk. He's a young guy, too. So for him to look like a stuffed shirt when he's like 24 years of age, it's kind of a bad look.
Yeah, no.
Corey, anything?
They take it too seriously. The golfers take it too seriously.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the adherence to etiquette is.
This is you know, I've been telling
you, a little aggressive.
There's this guy from y'all don't watch the show, but the quarterback. John Franklin from he was a quarterback on Last Chance University, the TV show on Netflix. I believe he's going to the combine this year, but maybe not as a quarterback. But
where did he play?
He played his last stop. He played for Florida State. He played for,
his last stop.
I know. He played for Florida State. He played for Auburn, and he played for Florida Atlantic. His last stop was Florida Atlantic, and in between, he was at Last Chance U. He ran a four. They're saying that he recently ran a 4.19.
Come on.
So he ran a 4.19.40.
Well, he's fast. I mean, it can't be faking him being fast. He's obviously fast. I cannot buy the 4.19, but he's obviously fast.
The video appears to be recent.
Who timed him?
It was posted February 22nd, and the man who posted it is a private trainer, Travis Shelton, not a staffer at Florida Atlantic University. So. They said it looks
John Ross was the 4.22, right?
Yeah, so it looks
How's that working out?
Franklin was laser times on both ends of his run, but we can't tell from the video if 4.19 is a completely accurate measure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I don't think he's supposed to be at the combine or not.
And this is the thing. I don't see him on the list with quarterbacks, but then maybe, you know, they may try to move his position. So I'll have more information on this tomorrow.
Why are you so interested in him?
Because he was the show, because of the show on Netflix, Last Chance U. He was like one of the stars of the show, so I was like just hoping he can make it to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? It's a feel-good story.
Was he a star because of how he performed, or was he a star because like he was the biggest personality?
He had the biggest personality. I think he was the biggest of the blue chips that were there for that one season. He was in like a little bit of a quarterback controversy, and then they started altering quarterbacks, like one play one series, one play one, and then he got a chance to go to Auburn, but then I think he messed up something at Auburn again, then he ended up at Florida Atlantic. I think he none of his stuff was off the field, he just couldn't get the books down.
Who are you excited to see Blewett tomorrow? Well, today, I guess the entire combine. Who are you looking most forward to?
That's a good question. I'm going to put the quarterbacks to the side. I do think it will be interesting to see if somebody closes the gap on Barkley a little bit and sort of throws cold water on him being way out in front of the class, whether it's Geis or Penny or one of the other guys. I just wonder if people start seeing value at the running back position beyond Barkley, because it's been said that this is a deep class, but people are only talking about Barkley. But very often people are only talking about Barkley at the top. I just wonder how many teams sneak back in and try to realize where Alvin Kamara should have been picked last year, if teams will take a shot at some of those guys I just mentioned.
I think those guys push up the board because it's a copycat league.
They might.
Well, if you want to keep your eye on somebody that could you want the name that could shoot up the draft board, depending on what happens in the combine, I'm sure you probably already know about this, Blewett, or maybe you guys don't, but watch Mark Walton from Miami.
Yeah, I heard Todd McShay talking about him yesterday. So
the more I watch him, I think I've already put him inside my top five running backs. I watch him.
Yeah, so that will be interesting. The quarterback shuffle, I think we got a long way to go. I'm still of the opinion that Darnold is going to win out through.
Well, he's
this.
Not throwing.
Yeah, so he's saving her for the pro day. So we'll figure it out. You know, we'll figure it out as we go. I think there's a long way to go here. And the more we look at it, the more we're picking these guys apart. And they don't look as good as they did 5 months ago.
Yeah, and like I was telling you downstairs, I'm waiting for the Lamar Jackson Wonderlic test score to be leaked.
You can't, though. That's the thing. You're not even supposed to. You can get in trouble for that now.
Yeah, but they seem to do it every year, though. Somebody, some quarterbacks, particularly the quarterback.
They get out there somehow?
Yeah, they get out
there. I don't
know
how they decided that anyway. How they decided what the odds were on the Wonderlic tests.
That's interesting.
I took a Wonderlic test.
How'd you do?
I don't know, but I did well.
Okay.
They didn't tell me my score. They're like, you passed what we need you to pass. So
I scored pizza. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. I have no idea who we'll be with. It'll be Corey and myself, though. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night. Start of the NFL Combine coverage. It's the Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a good day.
Steph.
Does your fantasy team...